Well, we are in Ephesians chapter 5 today.
Now, I tried it today. It didn't happen today, but I've been on Google Maps before. You know, you're looking for directions someplace, and you type it in, and then you start looking around, seeing what streets are before. It's just kind of just perusing sometimes, or I'll look at certain things, and I'll get off the center focus of where I want to be or the central place that I put in. And then I start to get off a little bit off the map, and I just wander. That's just my personality. I tend to wander around in things. And then there used to always be this button, recenter. You just click it, and it would just come back to where you wanted it to be, what I initially looked for. I didn't see it today. So, you know, don't go to Google Maps looking for the recenter button today. But sometimes in life, I don't know if you have that habit of just wandering and looking I've done that when I'm on the trails. Like, hey, that's a new trail. I haven't seen that trail before, and I want to wander off on that trail when I was biking and when I was hiking. Or sometimes just in, you know, you're in the department store, and you're just, well, if you go to brick and mortars, most of you don't go to brick and mortars no more. But if you go to, you do it online on a catalog. You start searching for all kinds of stuff. You go to the discount page, and so you're just going all over the place. And then, oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be looking for this. It happens to me when I go to the refrigerator. I go looking for something specific, and I just say, hey, look at all that stuff. Whoa, man. And I just kind of, oh, wait a minute, I'm here for milk. You know, I got to get that. So in life sometimes, maybe it's the trials that come upon us that just knock on us and beat us and trip us up and stumble us. And, man, it's just been rough. And, you know, maybe sometimes it's just that our eyes are flooded with tears that we can't see clearly. Sometimes it's just the opportunities and the good stuff. You know, and it's like, whoa, and that's what Lot's all right. Remember when Lot and Abraham were having the trouble with there's just too many people, too many workers, too many, you know. And so Abraham says, you know what, Lot, his nephew, we got to part ways so we can live in peace. And Lot saw the green lush valley of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I want that. And we know if you know your Bible, you know what happened to that thing, that the green lush valley turned out to be his curse. And it turned out to be a distraction for him spiritually, for his kids. And sometimes we face those opportunities, man, good opportunities. But we find ourselves wandering. We got to recenter. We need to refocus. We need to come back. And this has to be a daily prayer of ours. Lord, help me to refocus. Help me to recenter. And that's part of what our study on experiencing God is, just to move from a self-centered life to a God-centered life. And for some of us here, the reality is we just need to recenter because we're children of God. But maybe you're here this morning and you're not a child of God. You're not born again. You're not forgiven. You haven't been forgiven of all your sin. And so for you, it's a centering of your life on God. For those of you who are Christians, and we tend to wander a little, we tend to get a little off base a little, we get a little distracted, it's a recentering of your life on who God is and what God's plan and desire is for us, for our lives. And this is kind of what Paul brings to this passage in Ephesians, because he's talked about all the theological, spiritual, doctrinal things. He's chosen us, he's justified us, he's filled us, these kinds of things that he's done for himself, for us, that only God could do for us. And then he started on a very practical note in chapter 4. And then he's talking about all these different things about loving and caring and not lying, not cheating, not stealing, and all these things. And then he says, wait a minute. Okay. Let's stop here for a moment. Just for a moment. All right. All these things, you could try to do them in the flesh. You could try to do them in your own strength. You could try to do it with self-help books. You can even try to do it by trying to do it. And he's saying, no, come back, let me bring your attention back to God. Let's all look at God now, and let's see what God has to say. And that's kind of the tone of what he's saying. He said, come back, because he uses the word therefore. And when we see the word therefore, a corny way of remembering it, we need to see what it's there for, all right? And what he's saying, what did he say in verse 30, do not grieve the Spirit of God of the previous chapter, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. But come back with me. Come back with me, he's saying. Because the power to do so is found only in God. The power to do so is not in, because we go from a I believe in faith to a responsibility to behave and to walk with God, but that power only comes in Christ. It only comes as we are in Christ, because he has provided us everything we need to live the victorious life. Now remember, we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. And if you've ever heard Tony Evans, he talks a lot about that, especially in his book on spiritual warfare. Christ has secured the victory for us. So when we are living our lives, we are living victoriously. The reason we struggle is because we're not appropriating, we're not taking for ourselves all the resources, because Ephesians 1:3, that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, or all spiritual resources, that they're ours. Let's take them. Boom, boom. Bring them into our lives. Apply them in our lives. Strength, wisdom, direction, peace, joy, love. All these things. A hunger for holiness and righteousness. So we come here, and I want us to see three things that he wants to remind us to help us recenter our lives on God. And the first one is this. We need to be like God. We need to love like God. We need to be like God. We need to love like God. Because this is more than just an academic effort. This is more than just getting to know more information about the Bible or more information about God. This is taking who God is and what God says and living it out in our lives. He says, verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. It says in the beginning of chapter 13 of the book of 1 Corinthians, which is the chapter of love, it talks about you can have voices of angels, but if you don't have love, you're just a clanging cymbal. You're just all kinds, you're just a mess. So he says, be imitators of God. Now, I think the next phrase is really key. He says, be imitators of God, not in a sterile, not in a, I just got to do what he says, not because I have this God over me, not because he's going to zap me and he's going to do this and he's going to do that if I don't imitate him, if I don't act like him, if I don't walk like him, if I don't talk like him. No, 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 no. The purpose and the reason is couched in the idea of relationship. Because he says, as beloved children, relationship. Our Father who art in heaven, relationship. We cry out, Abba, Father, relationship. Our obedience and our imitating God is not out of some list of commands of do's and don'ts. It's part of relationship. We do because we love. We do because he's loved us. We do because he's saved us, because he's poured out his life for us. So I am imitating Christ. I'm imitating God because that's what children do. Because of relationship. Because God is not demanding just for demanding sake. He is asking us, he is commanding us, be imitators of God. This is what Paul says, and it's a command. Imitate God. Why? Because that's what children do. Because their father, because we have a heavenly father. Now, I know this interferes sometimes in our thoughts of God when your father wasn't there or wasn't a good guy, but that's not our heavenly father. We have to put that aside and look to our heavenly Father, who is our perfect Father, who is our loving Father, who is our good Father. And we look to him. And we walk with him. He tells us in Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined
to be conformed to the image of his Son. He is molding us and shaping us. He's calling us, imitate me, but I'm not letting you out on your own to try to figure this out. I'm molding you and I'm shaping you and I'm forming you. And I'm, yes, getting the impurities out. Yes, I'm getting the difficulties out. Yes, I'm getting your attitude out. Yes, I am molding you and shaping you. And I'm working on you because of relationship. And friends, if we can grasp that, that the trials and difficulties and victories or the opportunities are there, God is molding us with the issue of relationship. He is molding you so that you and I and us, we can enjoy relationship as the family of God. Again, sometimes our families are dysfunctional. Sometimes there's not peace in our families. Sometimes there's grudges and anger and all these things. But in our church family, our God family, God is molding us so that we can enjoy life together. And sometimes there's hiccups, isn't there, in our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Amen? Right? Yeah? And it's usually because of yourself or myself, right? More so than we want to admit. Usually when we repeat a story, and this is what how age works on our memory, usually the stories that we repeat, we're more of a hero every time we talk about it, right? There's a story about a man, he had a great, powerful testimony, and he used it for several years, and all of a sudden he stopped using it. And somebody says, well, wait. How come you don't share your testimony more? Because I realized I started to embellish and exaggerate that I kind of lost track of what the real thing is. And so we become more of the, less of the villain and more of the hero in our stories. But God is saying, come back to me, look at me. And I think really, really, a key thing here for us is in John 1:17, it says that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. We need grace, we need truth. Grace is the ability and the desire to forgive. Truth is acknowledging that there's something to be forgiven of. Truth says this is God's way. Grace is also God's way, but this is where grace and truth come together in Jesus Christ. But he tells us, and walk, he says, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Paul tells the Corinthians in chapter 16, verse 14, that all that you do, that you get, or that they talk about. No, love is an action, and love is to keep others in mind. The way that we show love, as Christ showed love for us, tenderhearted. And what's the next phrase? Why is it that we held on to things with each other? You know, we're talking here brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we're talking in the family of God. We're not talking, you know, with family. It was a powerful moment at the trial, sentencing of the female officer who thought she was walking into her apartment, walked into the apartment of another man. Which made it even worse was she was an Anglo and he was African American. So she walked in thinking that he was in her apartment and incinerated the issue. And she was convicted. I believe it was his brother. Young man. Came and hugged her. Wow. Powerful moment. Powerful moment because, friend, forgiving. Keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. It's not an excuse for you to continue to sin. Not an excuse for you to continue to stomp on people. It's not an excuse for you to kick people. It's not an excuse to not practice control, self-control with your tongue. Because we will, from time to time, sin. What does come? Love covers a multitude of sins. Because love will say, stop. You offended me. What you said or what you did, 21. Well, there's only one chapter in Jude, but it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Friends of God, imitate him for his mercy. We want to rebuke. We want to put people in their place. But he says, all and love and forgiveness and kindness. I hate to bring this up, but I am. You know, Booth at the Cowboy game, sitting next to George W. Bush, and all her people on her side where she is, morality and all this stuff. How could you sit next to that man? He's a conservative Republican, and you're a good lesbian liberal. And she came back and said, when I tell people to be kind to one another, it's not just kind to those who are like us, but kind to everyone. And, you know, I don't agree with her lifestyle. I don't agree with some of the things that she speaks of. But I think we can learn a lesson here in the church. God says to be kind. And yet I see in the rants and the raves on Facebook, the ugliness that comes out of Christians. And friends, it has no room in our heart and our mind. Because friends, they're our mission field. And if we're going to continue to attack them, do we stand up for the righteousness of God? Yes. Do we stand up for the holiness of God? Yes. Do we stand up for the commands of God? Yes. But are we standing up for all of them or just the ones we don't like? Because that's when they call us hypocrites. You know, I have a friend on Facebook who's, you know, very good at pointing some of those things out. Not in a bashing way. One post was, don't be impressed with people who can quote Scripture. Be impressed with people who live Scripture. And you know what? He's right. This area of being like God. Think about Jesus. When he sat there with Matthew and his tax collecting friends, the worst of the worst. When he was there with others, was he bashing them? Did he rip the woman caught in adultery? Did he throw the lady, the Samaritan woman, down the well? No. No. He spoke to their heart and offered them forgiveness. Friends, if we're going to win the world, we need to do it. We need to be like God and love like God. Okay? Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Okay? Are we clear on that? If you have any questions about that, please come and talk to me after. But we must present a God-like attitude towards all people. Do we warn them? Yes, we warn them. Yes, we talk to them about what Scripture is. But too often we're spewing stuff. Okay? Got that? He says, so we come back to the second thing. Be like God, love like God. Be in the world, but not of it. Be in the world, but not of it. Look at what he says in verse 3 and 4. But immorality, okay, because he says, love like God, live like God, love like God. But he says, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you. Okay, this stuff has to stop. It can't be named among you. As is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. These are perversions that trip us up. These are things that he is warning. Evidently, there was a problem, or he has to address an issue, and he's addressing these things. Immorality refers to all sexual sin. Impurity refers to immoral thoughts, passions, ideas, fantasies. Greediness or greed is the manifestations of sexual covetousness. I'm not even going to give you examples of those things, okay? You know what they are. You know, the internet is filled with them. They pop up. They can pop up on your phone now. Because these things should not be named among you. He goes, 1 Corinthians 5:1. Paul has this against them. He says, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you. Immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles. He says, come on, wake up, church. The Gentiles, the pagans, those who are not with God, this stuff doesn't happen with them. And what was it? A man is sleeping with his father's wife, not his mother, at best his stepmother. And he's saying, wait a minute, that stuff doesn't happen among the pagans, and you're letting it happen in the church. I'm not saying he was a deacon. I'm not saying he was the preacher. I'm just saying that he wasn't being talked to about this, because that's wrong. Then he goes on with three more things. Well, actually four, three negatives and one more positive. He talks about filthiness. There must be no filthiness. This has to do with general obscenity. Any talk that is degrading and disgraceful. He says, nor silly talk. Silly talk refers to as a low obscenity, foolish talk that comes from drunk or gutter mouth. We would go to birthday parties for family members. But once the beer talk came, we got up and left because I didn't want to get involved in the foolish talk. There was no stopping it by that time. But isn't it amazing when they're drunk? I love you, bro. Oh, bro, man, this and love you that. And dude, you guys don't like each other. But oh, I love you, bro, man. Silly talk. The next one is coarse jesting. Refers to talk that is pointed and determined. It carries the idea of quickly turning something that is said or done, no matter how innocent, into what is obscene and suggestive. Have you ever said something, and then after you said it, somebody says, oh, and then you realize, oh, wow, that didn't come out right. Or do you have people, friends, who can turn stuff? I used to work with a guy. He would always throw the innuendos out. He was always laying out traps for somebody to jump in. So, well, where's your mind at? Why is your mind in the gutter? I said, dude, you knew what you were doing. You knew what you were saying. You were waiting to trap somebody into this. Friends, that's not for us. Our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, all are saying, don't be like that no more. And these things trip us up. Locker room talk, work talk. And it's not even, it used to be where men would get aside and do all this mugre talk. But now the women are in on it. I had to tell one of the ladies at work. She was just, I said, Cheryl. There's gentlemen around. Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I'm sorry. And she didn't call me Pastor. Or did she? She might have. Oh, I'm sorry. Friends. If we are going to make an impact in the world, we do so because we are being changed. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're going to make inroads into this world, which is obviously moving rapidly in the opposite direction. It's going to be as we provide them with a breath of fresh air, a cool drink of water, because our life is committed to loving God, loving each other, and even loving our enemies. Amen? Right? But then he says, this should be all done, but rather giving of thanks. Yes, we can be grateful that that's not me anymore. I can be grateful that God didn't send me down that path. He changed my life. He changed the trajectory of where I was headed. I can be grateful for that. But that doesn't mean I rub my holiness and the righteousness that God has given me in somebody else's face. Thank you. But for the grace of God, there go I. Or an easier way of saying that, man, that would have been me if God hadn't intervened. And many of you know what that's like, right? Many of you know what I mean. Because God turned you around dramatically. And we need to live with the spirit of an attitude of gratitude, of gratefulness, of thankfulness. And the third thing, be like God, love like God, be in the world, but not of it. Don't let these things be named among you. Don't be known for these things. What is that on social media? Hashtag coarse jester. Don't let that be attached to your name. Or hashtag silly talk. Or hashtag filthy mouth. Nothing like that, friends. Nothing like that. And I say hashtag not like I know what I'm talking about. It's just what I've seen. The third thing is, be aware of the consequences. Be aware of the consequences. Take this seriously, because God doesn't play games. Look what he says in verse 5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. In other words, if these things in verses 3 and 4 identify your life, they identify your life because no change has happened. And if no change has happened, then you are still going to die in your sin. Right? But hope, there's hope. There's definitely hope. There's definitely hope. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, I want us as believers to recognize something here. We are called righteous. But the Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus became sin so that we would become the righteousness of God. So any righteousness that abides in me is because of Christ in me. Not because I gained it, not because I earned it, not because I'm a good boy, not because I don't do those things or go out with girls who do. No. It's because all because of Christ in me. We need to understand that so we can better effectively minister in the world, so that we would have a humble heart, so we would be humility on display. Because I am here to help you, not because I got it right, but because God got it right. And God is in me, and he's molding me and shaping me. And I'm here to warn you. But a couple times before, when I was up on the trails, there was a rattlesnake coiled in the middle of the trail. And we were waiting to see what it was going to do. One guy was poking it, hoping it would move. He was just antagonizing it. So finally, the rattle stopped, and it just stayed there coiled. So we went around it. We got into the bush and went around it. What was my responsibility to anybody coming down? Man, I hope they step on it or hope it scares them. No. Hey, there's a snake in the middle of the road. Oh, okay. Snake in the middle of the road. Oh, okay, thanks. Snake in the middle of the road. Oh, it's still there. I said, yeah. Snake in the middle of the road. Snake in the middle of the road. Right? Because you don't want anybody getting bit by a rattlesnake. So one time I was up there. Some ladies were coming down. They were busy talking. Not that the guys don't do that either. Okay, I'm just saying. They were talking. And all of a sudden you see a scream and this girl. I knew what happened. She saw a snake that was laying on the side. I said, wow, that's a pretty good dance move. She said, yeah, I didn't see that. Pay attention. Got to focus. Take the headphones out and look where you're going. Friends, I speak to others because I want to warn them, not judge them or condemn them. They may feel like I'm judging them, but my desire is that they would be warned. He says, because he says here, or do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He says, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Friends, and it should come with a burdened heart, a heavy heart, and maybe even tears in our eyes as we talk to the unsaved, as we talk to the unrighteous, as we talk to those who don't have Christ, as we talk to our children, as we talk to our teens, as we talk to our parents sometimes. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And guess where we focus on? Homosexuality. That's where we focus on. Right? That's where our world is focusing on. That's the battle right now. We're homophobic, we're haters, we're all these kinds of things. They're talking now at a very low level of it, trying to introduce legislation that will take away the nonprofit status from churches and universities and academic places that will not support the LGBTQT agenda. So this is real life stuff. I don't have a hatred. I have a compassion. Friends, family, people, because it's not the passage. Mark it there. I should have had you turn there, but because of time, we're not. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Because again, sexually immoral, idolaters. How many? Idolatry is on the move. We're not selling statues. We're not selling idols, things, but we have our idols. And it's usually in our pocket or in our hand. Adulterers, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then, here's the hope. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. There's hope, friends. There's consequences, but there's hope. Friends, never, never just share the consequence. Always share the hope. When you come to an end of a conversation because they don't want to hear it, always tell them, but there's hope. There's forgiveness. There's God. And he wants you as your child, as his child. Always talk about the hope, not just simply the consequence. He says it in 1 John 3, 9 through 10. John says this, no one who is born of God practices sin because his seed, God's nature abides in us and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the child of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Friends, if we're going to make an impact in our world, we need to recenter and refocus our lives on God. Live like God, love like God. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And remember, there are consequences. But friends, if you are a child of God today, we have much more to be thankful. Thank you that I do not have to face those. When it was really, really hot, well, really, really hot for us here in Southern California. It was really, really hot. People would say, oh, man. I said, well, I'm glad I don't have to endure the heat of hell. I'll deal with this heat. But I don't have to deal with that heat for eternity. And they just like, yeah. Try to stir up a conversation, but some of them recognize it right away and they want to run. But friends, let's be grateful, but let's warn. And let's do so with compassion, with the love that Christ has loved us with. I read to you a passage out of Titus. don't have it there in your notes. Titus 3, 5, 6, 7. Well, verse 4. But when the kindness of God our Savior, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing and regeneration, poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Confessed to us. He chose us and saved us and washed us. Now, a thought came to me as I was standing there. It's probably going to... Can you imagine being the 10th person taking a bath? And this God washes us. It's fresh, clean water. We all have the same washing on the same basis. His mercy, his grace, his love. That is the hope to each and every one of us. We can receive it or we can reject it. If you reject it, you will not partake in the eternity with our Heavenly Father forever. If you receive it, there's, it can happen. You can be grateful every single day of your life, or you can become, wouldn't God save me? Look at me, don't, what? Look what I've done for God. Friends, that's an ungrateful spirit. And that, to me, may even, you could just be skating by. I think the biggest sin for any Christian is to the call to preach the gospel, to share the gospel. That, my friends, I think is the biggest sin. So you need to ask yourself the question, have I received his forgiveness because of the hope in Christ? Have I been washed? If not, ask God to wash you. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to... Christ is the Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes will perish, but have everlasting life. And if you are a believer today, what am I doing with it? Am I becoming more like the world or more like Christ? And if you feel and if you sense and you recognize, do I look more like Christ or do I look more like the world? And if the word is coming back, you look more like the world, then you need to repent. But if people are saying you look more like Christ, then the word for you is excel. Father, for that we thank you. That, Lord, you are a forgiving God, a caring God, a loving God. Love like you. Help us to recognize that we are not, we are in the world, but we're not of it. Be warned by the consequences. To be grateful and ordinary in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you all.